Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Are you ready?
We're working here.
We're working here. Live from New York, it's the Women's Running Podcast.
We're going to do a taste test.
Oh, yeah.
Because, this one's yours.
Oh, my God.
So something that we did, and I'm sorry if this is not ASMR.
It's weighty.
It's weighty. If we were recording live this whole time, the amount of mukbang that would have been going on. Because yeah. We've eaten our way
so
through.
So much. Mm-hmm. She's chef kissing.
I'm chef kissing. Sorry. Yeah, I would feel the same if I were you, to be fair.
I am very, very, very tired. I have very poorly legs. But it's been, yeah, I'm so pleased you're here because it's very deflating to run these things on your own. And I think, you know, we've said it before, it's so lovely to have the Pod Squad. It's so lovely to have this community because I feel like I'm supported, selfishly supported through that, which is wonderful. But to actually have you here in person has been very, very lovely.
It's been great. I'm going to give you a cuddle live on the pod.
That's
never
so
get
nice.
To
you
that.
Never get to cuddle on the pod.
Welcome to episode 169 of the Women's Running Podcast. I'm your host, Esther Newman, and she's your other host, Holly Taylor. On this podcast, we talk about health, politics, stuff on TV, and what we ate last night. Occasionally, we talk about running. Finally, it's race weekend. There is so much to talk about with the recent New York Marathon that we've decided to do two podcasts about the weekend, starting with this one, which details the boring bits, aka the running. In our next pod, we'll chat about all the exciting bits, aka the food. So here we are talking about what it's like to take on one of the biggest marathons in the world, from how to get there, which was far trickier than you might expect, to the race villages, to actually running the thing. We also, very importantly, chat about the best things we ate as part of the recovery. I ran the New York Marathon with Sports Tours International, which offers brilliant running packages with guaranteed entries to the biggest races in the world. And it also puts on a pretty spectacular after party too. Right, enough of that. Let's get into it. This is a very good time to subscribe to Women's Running or think about giving a gift subscription for that big date in December you might be thinking about. Because right now, when you subscribe, as well as receiving the best magazine in the world, you'll also get a free exclusive Women's Running technical tee worth £35. It's beautiful, it's blue, and it says Happy Running on the back to help motivate you and your brilliant running buddies too. Just go to shop.womensrunning.co.uk/become a member and enter X23WRP P-O-D, that's pod, at the checkout for your free tea. And please remember to send us a pic of you wearing it.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
You're tuning in to us, well, not live for you, but for us.
It feels live for us.
It feels live for us. Honestly, mere hours after you've crossed the finish line. Less yep. than 2 hours. No. Yeah. What?
Really?
No.
Maybe three hours?
Yeah.
3 hours after I finished
yeah.
the New York Marathon.
And we're recording this from our hotel room, 42nd floor. Don't stand too close to the window.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
Quite scary.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, this is honestly how long it took us to basically just get chips.
Get chips and a cookie and then get home.
Get home largely unscathed. But...
yeah. We decided a second ago that there was so much to talk about that instead of doing one podcast, we're going to do two, because there's just, we want to talk about the race, because despite this podcast not always being about running,
there's so much to say.
There is so much to say. Mm. So I want to talk about that at length and bore everyone to tears. But the other thing that we want to talk about on the podcast is just everything else we've been doing,
yeah.
because it's been like an insane few days.
It's been amazing. So don't despair if this episode is marathon heavy and we don't talk about Empire State Buildings and M&M stores and stuff.
Oh, it's been so good.
Then we haven't actually been in the M&M store.
No,
we just walked past that. That's
yeah,
where I thought
we
that.
Have, yeah.
Then yeah, don't worry, that's coming. I feel weird because I feel like I'm looking at the. We don't usually record ourselves.
No, we usually look at each other
in person. Yeah,
might have to turn this way actually.
Yeah, good idea.
Yeah.
So yeah, don't worry, that will happen. That will happen next week when normal programming resumes. But we wanted to do a Saturday night, Sunday night live from
the Trocadero,
from New York City,
yes,
Manhattan, from Broadway. We are actually in.
Yeah, actually.
So exciting!
So exciting.
What should we do? Should I interview you about it? Or
yeah.
do you want to just tell me?
No, interview me. That's cool. That's
okay.
Cool. Yeah, interview me. That's
okay.
Fine.
My first question I want to know
yeah.
is last night. Let's actually start from last night.
Okay.
And we won't give all of the details about everything that we did.
Yeah.
But how were you feeling ahead of today? And how did it differ from previous marathons?
I was super nervous.
Mm-hmm. More nervous than you've been for London and stuff.
Definitely more nervous than I was for the last London.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just all the unknowns, wasn't it? It's like, I think that the big thing that I was worried about all the stuff leading up to it. So I'd been worried about the travel. There was all
yeah.
these kinds of things, wasn't there? But I was also like really worried about just getting to the start line, because I'll get onto it later, but it's a fair old trek away and it's not simple.
Yeah.
So I was very worried about that, and rightly so, it turned out. And so the kind of the race itself, I'd pushed to the back of my mind a
yeah.
bit. And then last night I did get the heebie-jeebies because I just...
You did a little bit, didn't you? Yeah.
So it was just like, I think it's just the unknowables. It's like not knowing what it's going to be like, not
yeah.
knowing what the train's going to be like, not knowing what kind of... It's all the unknowables. I've never run in Manhattan before, so I didn't know what it would feel like.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just, yeah. So it was, I was nervous, but I did manage to sleep a bit.
Yes.
So I was pleased about that. And we had the clocks going back last night, didn't we?
I was going to say that's the next thing, I suppose, is that we had to contend with the clocks going back. This morning was a bit confusing.
Yes.
I woke up at 4:30 to go for a wee.
Yeah.
And then shortly after, Esther started getting up and showering and everything. And I was like, she must have just decided that she's not getting back to sleep. She's just going to go for it. It wasn't until you came out of the shower that I was like, are you all right? That I realized that your watch had not automatically gone back.
No. So my phone had gone back, but all my alarms were on my watch. And so I just thought it was like 4:45.
Yeah.
Not 4:45. But by that stage, I'd showered and everything. And so I just thought, oh, fuck it. I just get on with it.
Yeah. And talk us through the next bit, because...
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, the next bit was awful. So, like, when you do the New York Marathon, there are three ways, because we're on Manhattan. So if you're staying in Manhattan, the start is in Staten Island.
Mm-hmm.
Bloody miles away. And there are three ways that you can go there. And you can go there by a bus or by two different kinds of ferry and then a bus afterwards. And the thing was, so I was supposed to be going from something called the Midtown Ferry. And it turns out, I think this is quite a new addition to the transportation things, because whenever I spoke to people...
They did.
Even New Yorkers. They didn't know what I was talking about. I mean, they knew that the ferry existed, but they didn't know that that was going to be one of the ways in which runners were going to be transported to the race. So I just Googled it and figured out where it was. And then said to Holly last night, just before I turned the light out, I just went, it's 20 minutes away. I'll walk it. Anyway, I walked in the wrong direction. There are two Midtown ferries, there's East and West. And I started walking to one that was closest to us, which was the wrong one. And it was at, 6:30 in the morning. It was very dark. There were lots of shady characters around, and I was in the middle of New York, and I felt very vulnerable. And I'd been walking for about 15 minutes completely on my own down some really hairy streets where I was, crossing over frequently because there was just like groups of men no one was threatening or anything, but it just seemed...
It's a city you don't know. 5:00 in the morning.
It just felt really bad.
Pitch black.
Yeah. So I felt really, really worried. And then thought to myself, this is ridiculous. 50,000 people are doing this race. Why is no one walking in the same direction as me? I've been told that everyone would be just follow the trainers.
We had been told that a lot, haven't we? That was the way to kind of get to the race, was just follow people.
So in the end, I got an Uber. No. I tried to get an Uber and then couldn't because it wasn't picking up on my location. So I booked an Uber, but it came to a wrong location.
Oh no, has your rating suffered as a result?
Probably suffered massively because I booked two by mistake.
Oh, Esther.
I know. And then I was trying to have a conversation with the Uber driver who had a strong accent and I couldn't understand him. And he was like, I'm here. And I was like, no, you're not.
Oh, anyway, God, it's all I didn't know this bit.
Oh, it's awful.
Big crying I'd be doing at this point. I so already,
yeah.
This is I'm giving you a medal.
Oh, thanks
for not crying on the phone to the Uber man.
Didn't cry to the Uber man,
so you don't have to wear that if it's heavy.
It is quite heavy. but do you know what? There was actually there was a lovely woman, clearly from New York, clearly also doing the race. And she came up to me at around about this stage saying, where do you need to go?
Yeah.
And I said, I need to go to the Midtown Ferry. And she was the first person that went, really? And I was like, yeah, I do. I'm going to try and get a cab. And she went, I'm going to go and get the bus. And a lot of me thought, I wish I'd just gone with her to go and get the bus.
Yeah.
But I don't think they would have let me on.
No, you're right, because they're funny about, that was the other thing that Sports Tours had briefed us on, the fact that of these three ways to get to Staten Island, I think you can kind of go at any time a little bit, can't you?
But sort of.
Yeah. But they are quite strict on the method that you've been booked onto. Does that just happen automatically? Did you just get shoved up, allocated randomly?
No, I was only given that option. I don't know.
Of the Midtown.
It was really weird. And when it was first sort of given to me, it seemed as though it was the kind of the nicest option, because of all of the transportation options, it was the one that was going to take the least amount of time.
Yeah.
I think. So anyway, I double back on myself, walked all the way back to one of our neighbouring hotels, which we'd been to for the race briefing. More on that on the next podcast, probably. We'd been there before, so I knew where it was. And they had, they also had loads of kind of snacks out for the runners, which our hotel had.
Yeah, they did.
So I went in and I immediately stole a banana to calm my nerves.
Good.
Thanks. And then after speaking to people there, then managed to get a cab to the proper ferry. So I was at the ferry, but I was at the ferry even despite all of that, I was at the ferry really early. So I got on the 6:45 ferry,
which was a remarkably nice ferry. They really know how to do ferries here.
Oh, I'm so jealous of the fact that I've not done a ferry while we're here. Mm. And again, I suppose probably more on that later, though might be worth us trying to get a ferry tomorrow.
I think we might do it tomorrow.
Yeah.
This one, the Midtown one, so the last time I was in New York was in 1999, and I took the Staten Island ferry, which is the one down the bottom, like near like World Trade Center, kind of right yeah. down around there. And this one that I took was from the kind of the middle of the island. And it was just so whizzy and whooshy. And we all had seats, you know, so it all felt nice. So I was able to sit down. And then, yeah, it whooshed down in between Manhattan and Staten Island. It whooshed right down the middle. And then, you know, past Statue of Liberty.
It all felt
really, really lovely. So that was really nice. Took about half an hour or something. And then we get off at the other end. And then we are picked up by buses, school buses, yellow school buses.
Simpsons school buses.
Yeah. It was so cool. And there were just dozens of them, all kind of, you know, and every single American movie or TV series, it's those yellow buses, and there were just loads of them.
That's very cool. Even so in The Sims, amazing. You get picked up in one of those.
There you go.
Yeah.
And then you
become nothing, and then you come back at 3 o'clock again to your house.
You don't
get to go to school with them.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah.
Yeah. Poor Sims.
I was always a bit gutted. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Buses. I know Angela Rippon or whatever her name is. No. Ooh.
Do you mean Angela Rippon? She's doing some good dancing at the moment.
Yes, no, I'm thinking of, what's that? Who's a famous it? Krishnan Gurumurthy?
Also on Strictly.
I'm just trying to think of a good interviewer.
Yeah.
You, Esther Niemann? I know Esther Niemann right now. But you've done the yellow bus. You've arrived Staten Island.
Yes.
What's Staten Island like, first of all?
Oh my God. Again, it's like every single bit around here looks like a bit of a movie.
Yeah.
So there was a bit like, there was a kind of a bit of a jam with the buses and stuff, and that, which was fine. So we were sort of sat in it for a little bit, and it meant I was just sort of like looking at all these kind of clapperboard houses. So again, like something out of Big or something out of, I don't know. It just looked like a classic American suburban, you know, that was quite
that's
lovely.
So cool.
And I didn't start taking pictures because I just thought that it feels as though I'm encroaching on people's privacy kind of thing, but it was, oh, so lovely. So that's what that bit was. And then we got dumped off at the Race Village, bit more walking than I would have liked. Race Village was quite complex, but all the volunteers were very, very lovely.
I mean, everyone is lovely.
Everyone's lovely.
We'll talk about the only people who have told us off and not been lovely to us in the next episode.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
but generally, everyone is so lovely.
So nice. Mm-hmm. So I was like, when I finally got to my little bit of the Race Village, there was that woman that was going, water, Gatorade, coffee. And I was like, oh, mate, you're amazing. She was insanely good.
That's great.
Proper American people being really American and lovely.
Yeah, Americans are in general. I mean, I haven't really met too many American people, a few, but not too many before our pod squad and all the American pod squad, you guys stateside,
mm-hmm.
our side. Now at the moment,
are
completely dreamy. And I thought that it's just that we've got a really lovely lot, but actually that is kind of the vibe of everybody here.
Yeah,
Everyone's just so great. We also have a lovely lot.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're basically saying that the pod squad aren't
No, yeah,
aren't
you guys
nice.
Are bastards.
Yeah.
But... oh, no, it really is like everyone's just really, really nice.
Yeah.
So I want to ask you about something that I shouldn't already know.
Oh, I know. I'll tell you what happened in the village, right?
Okay, so what happened in the village.
I'm in the Blue Village, and I was walking around there, and the first lovely thing to happen was that I was walking along, and a woman came up to me and she went, oh my God, you're Esther. Which was, I mean, bearing in mind how many people are running the race, it was just,
that's just lovely.
A bit insane. Mm-hmm. And so this was, I'm going to have to check, but I think I remember that her name was Jaleesa.
Mm-hmm.
I took a selfie, and I should put that up on Instagram. And she lived in Florida. And
she's really nice.
And she'd listened to the podcast from like episode one when it was really bad.
An OG. Before me. Before my time.
Before even Hull.
Yeah.
When it was like super bad. And so she's been with us all that time and she was absolutely lovely. So that was really nice because she didn't ask for it, but I did actually say, can I have a hug? Because I was feeling quite kind of solitary and a bit lonely and a bit, ugh.
It's quite scary navigating New York on your own. Yeah. I've been the wobbliest today as well. And all I've had to do is, walk around and try and find the race. But it's, yeah. I've felt quite wobbly today as well. It's
on your own. It's quite,
with it's the two amazing of us, it's been brilliant, here, but it is, it is a bit, which I guess is another upside of coming with a tour company or something so that you don't have to do everything on your own. Cause it is a little bit scary.
And I have to say, actually, I would have been a bit sniffy maybe about sharing a room because that's what Sports Tours offers as it's kind of like
standard thing
that you share a room, but I would definitely do that if I was coming here, because just to have a buddy to talk through what you're going to be doing, even if your races are like, even if you're going to be doing, you know, in different corrals and things like that, that to just talk through how to get there, to be there for some of it, to meet up afterwards, I think that's invaluable.
Yeah.
And to have you here, it makes so much difference. Like, I had no one in London really. And so, you know, I just sort of...
It's so nice. I'm really glad that we're together and it's a really lovely, spacious room. I'm sure more on this next week as well, but it has been really nice because it doesn't feel quite so like you're a tiny little dot in this huge city.
Yeah.
It feels like I know that I'm alive and I still exist because you do and you're next to me. So it's like, okay, it's fine.
And I knew it would be fine. You know, it was like meeting up with you afterwards. Like you being there.
That all went very smoothly.
Very smoothly. It's just been so lovely to have you there on what is actually, you know, it's physically an uncomfortable experience, but it's emotionally like fuck. And so to know that you were there at the end of it was really, really kind of grounding, because I was just like, I need someone. And I'll come to that in a minute.
Okay,
come to that in a minute, because what you want me to talk about?
Yes,
is right. There I am in the. Shouldn't clap on the podcast.
Dave, tell us off.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll tell me off. I just said hello to Jaleesa and there was an announcement and it said, you know, in every village we've got Gatorade, we got Dunkin', not Dunkin' Donuts, just Dunkin'.
Just Dunkin'.
We got SIS, we got this, da 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 da. And we got therapy dogs. And I was like, what is that? And I am here. I was like 98% on the verge of tears at this point. And you know, I'm not a massive dog person.
No.
But I heard that and I thought, Holly would go mental for that.
I would have pushed women and children aside.
And at that moment in time, I just thought, my cousin has a therapy dog and I just thought, right. And she's very lovely. And I thought, I need some of this. I actually need some therapy because I feel so, I felt like I'd been rung through the mill all that morning. I'd felt like I'd been through lots and lots of emotions and I'd felt very, very stressed, very anxious. And my heart was pumping and all this. So I queued up. Didn't have to queue for very long. And I was therapized by Wally the cockapoo. Oh,
how long did you get to sit with Wally?
A good 5 minutes of ear fondling.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thought that was going to be a bit longer than that.
I was hoping, I mean, he did.
Still great.
It was great. And he did rest his little head on my knee.
I have seen a picture and he is heaven.
He is a right old curly
like a little
one.
Chocolate ice cream boy.
Oh my gosh. That's really, really, really nice. And we didn't talk about anything apart from dogs. So I was with, there was three of us sharing him as a therapy dog with the owner. And the other two were dog owners and they really missed their dogs. And that's why they wanted to come. And one guy was from, I think he was from like Sweden. And he looked as though he was just about to cry because he missed his dog so much. and that's why he'd come over.
I would have been in bits.
I know.
Oh, I wouldn't have been able to run after that. Yeah. I'd have given myself a sinus infection and been crying.
I was choked when I came out. But it was, yeah, it was really, really, really lovely. And weirdly enough, like, I think I left and I immediately needed to go to the loo.
Yeah.
And then that all got sorted out.
Wally.
So Wally
sorted you out. Yeah.
He kind of massaged a bowel movement out of me. And yeah. I was like, oh, Wally, you're amazing.
That's what the therapy dogs are really there
I think
for.
They are. For
yeah.
That.
Yeah. Well, that is better than anything I've ever heard at a race village. So UK races, I think, need to step their games up.
I know.
A bit.
I was the other one, they're not the Swedish chap, but the other woman who was also missing her dog, she'd done loads of marathons. And I said, I've never heard of this. They don't have this in London. She went, they don't have it anywhere apart from here.
Aww.
I know. Well, it's a real New York thing.
Another reason to be obsessed with New York.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And they just had the loveliest volunteers that were handing out bagels, and you could choose between plain or cinnamon and raisin. I know.
Oh my God.
And then just
what did you have?
Cinnamon and raisin.
I was going to say, that sounds like you, but then also it does sound like Esther to be like,
oh dear, there's kind of stuff in it.
And yeah, be like, oh, I'm not sure, I might just go. Yeah.
I went for it because,
sorry, that sounded like a negative impression.
No.
It was only, I would do exactly the same. It's a slight fortune telling thing of like, oh, something awful might happen. Yeah.
But I mean, fine. Cinnamon and raisin bagels are never
that. That's a bit of you.
It's a bit of me, but they're not very cinnamony and they're not like raisiny, are they? They're quite plain.
It's
really.
Pretty safe. You're not playing with fire. It's not like that's having fine. A cuttlefish.
Doesn't make me feel good.
And prune bagel. Yeah.
Famous cuttlefish bagel. Red with
from Junior's relish.
Oh, God. Oy, oy, oy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, bagel in hand. How was
it? Cup of coffee.
Yeah. Wally the dog in your backpack.
Yeah.
How was... You go to a pen, or here, known as a corral.
It was all fine. I had to sit around for a long time because I got there so early. So I sat in the... Actually, the sun came out and that was really quite nice. Mm-hmm. So I did that. I made a really lame attempt at doing some kind of stretching. There were other people around me doing some very professional level stretching. And I saw
someone doing press-ups on some scaffolding.
Fucking hell. Yeah, I didn't do that. I did a bit of like, you know, a couple of hip circles.
Yeah, though... That being said, this was when I was at the mile 16 cheer zone. So, like, he can't have finished unless he ran it in about 45 minutes.
Oh.
And he can't have been at the start line. So, like, maybe he was just doing that. I thought it must have something to do with the day, but...
And I think that's
maybe
another
thing. Maybe it was just a flex.
We're definitely going to be talking about this in the other podcast because, you know, a big bustling major city like New York... has lots and lots of lovely people in it, but it's also got lots of
mentals.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
Are we allowed to say that?
I didn't
you
know
guys know, you know.
Yeah.
We're not nasty, but
yeah. It's just
some people are a bit mental.
Full of them.
Yeah.
So I was, it was quite weird. You have like a little village. There's an area with loos and bagels and dogs that you're sort of sitting in. And then there's another area that you go in and go into your corral.
I don't know whether I'd I'm yawning, rude.
It's all right.
I don't know whether I'd want to leave the bagel dog loo area.
I didn't. So I went there for the very last minute and we just it was fine, got into the pen. For anyone that wants to do New York next year, I would like, we had a race briefing before and I was just saying to Holly, I think one of the things I would have loved to have, and it's my fault, it's because I didn't actually read the book properly. If I read the book, I might have kind of got an understanding of that there were three separate villages.
Yeah.
So I didn't realize that at all. And that the color, like if you're put into different colors, like at Vitality, for instance, or at the London Marathon, the colors kind of indicate what kind of pace you go at. But here, the colours weren't to do with pace. It was just a way of kind of delineating you. So it was more to do with the letter of the bit of your wave.
I mean, it is, I didn't realise this, but it is, I believe, on Sports Tours' head, if it's not true, because they said this to me, it's the biggest marathon in the world.
I think it could well be.
Yeah.
It was 50,000. Yeah. And I think London Marathon is more about 40,000.
I think it's 40, yeah.
I mean, it was insanely busy. Mm-hmm. And there is I do like the fact that they had those three different areas because it didn't feel quite so busy. And as soon as one, like I was in wave E, and as soon as like D had gone, for instance, then all the loo queues went down, and you know, so okay. as each one went, mm-hmm. you had more
you
space,
could tell, yeah.
and da, da, da. So that all felt really nice. And yeah, so we got into the pen. And then very quickly we were kind of, well, it wasn't very good, but I think we were in there for like 40 minutes, but it didn't feel like 40 minutes.
No, because you're getting excited and they're playing songs.
There were songs. Mm-hmm. And also I was worried about feeling really cold. And the other amazing thing that I did, that I didn't think was amazing at the time, but it was I bought hand warmers, disposable hand warmers.
And, oh my God, I didn't know you'd done that.
Yeah.
Little ones where you click the thing in it.
They're kind of worse than that because they're like tea bags. And I saw that other people had them too. So it wasn't, I got them from Amazon. And you just sort of do that to them. And it was such a good idea because obviously I suffer really badly from cold hands. And as we walked into the pen, or before I opened them, I was shaking from cold, but also from nerves.
Aww.
Like you know when you do big shakes rather than just.
Yeah, I'm really sad that I wasn't there.
So well, you. But I was really like this, and so I just thought I just need to calm myself down. Open these things; they last for 10 hours. So I was just clutching them inside my clothes, and that the combination of that and possibly Wally's therapizing really
calmed you down,
sorted me out.
That sounds great.
Yeah, it was really good. And then we started, and it was like. They do Frank Sinatra.
Yeah, what's it like going over that start line? So they play Frank Sinatra.
They do.
They throw apples at your head.
They
chuck bagels into the crowd and shout.
They do.
Hey! That's what I'm imagining. Everything.
Very similar.
Yeah.
Very similar. Okay. But definitely, yeah, loads of Frank Sinatra. And then within like a minute, you are running up the biggest fucking bridge of your life. And I had been warned about it, but it was in like really intense that your first mile is upwards. And I hadn't really clocked that the first mile marker was when you just plateau at the top of this bridge. So your first mile is actually quite tough. So there was that. And
that's a bit mean, isn't it?
It is a bit mean. And you cross five bridges in total, and every bridge is up and down. And I know that's stating the bleeding obvious, but I must admit, coming from a UK perspective and from a Southwest England perspective, I didn't even consider the length of.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Some of these bridges, there was two in particular, that first one, and there was one a bit later, just before I
were
saw you.
Were they like miles long?
Fucking really long. Ooh. Well, that first one we did was like 2 miles long because it was 1 mile to the
top. I don't know if I want a bit. Well, what about the Severn Bridge?
Severn Bridge.
That's probably a couple of miles long.
That's going to be pretty long, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I've never run it. And it looks flat.
Yes. Severn Bridge. I think the Severn Bridge is flat. Unless you're going over the old Severn Bridge on a windy day, then it's probably like,
yeah. So this, both there was that one, and there was one, yeah, just at like mile 15, just before I saw you, and that was kind of covered. But that again, that was up, 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 up.
Yeah.
There was even a volunteer at the peak of that one going, "Everyone hates this hill, guys. Don't worry about it. You're here now." You know, okay, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a. Oh my God, the things that people said. Which is, anyway, so you start on that. You start on that big long thing, and then you're straight into. You run through five boroughs, and you remembered all.
I remember them because I weirdly love. In a new city, learning all of the sort of geography and I'm obsessed with tubes. I love working out all the different things. So you have Staten Island, Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, and Manhattan. I think those are the five. Correct me if I'm wrong, any New Yorkers, any Americans who are listening, but I think those are like the five main, maybe the five.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think they're at least the five central boroughs.
Yeah.
Or the five boroughs of New York City.
Yeah.
And
I can, it's really, because like Holly asked earlier on, like what was the best one to run through?
Yeah.
And sometimes I couldn't differentiate. Sometimes really helpfully, like when we ran into the Bronx, someone was holding up a sign saying, "Welcome to the Bronx." And it was like, oh, thank you very
That's
much.
That's good.
And someone did.
"Welcome to the Bronx.
It's been waiting for you." There was quite a lot of time. What was the, and one of the other ones, it was either Queens or something. And there was someone that said, there was another sign that said, "Oh, you're leaving this borough now," which was nice.
Yeah.
But I only had the wherewithal to take one picture of one sign and not the others. So I just can't remember.
Yeah, you had Welcome to Brooklyn.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You showed me that one.
Oh, was that what it was?
Yeah, quite a lot of it was through Brooklyn.
Yeah, it was that. My overriding memory of those early bits was, as we've discussed at length, an overwhelming stink of weed.
Yeah.
So we hadn't even got to the hotel. We were like, "God, stinks of weed around here."
Cheech and Chong vibes.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Everyone was on the jazz cigarettes. It's just like absolutely everywhere. And I'm not keen on that as a smell because I've never been able to cope with it.
We were saying, now that weed is more generally accepted, I had to look this up because I was like, maybe everyone's just brazen as hell around here. But I think it is legal. It's certainly legal to possess and smoke.
Yeah.
Here. Why don't they start working on genetically engineering it so that it smells nothing or of like clean, like a Yankee candle that's called clean cotton or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. The stink of it is, I find it really, really super unpleasant. Mm. But because they're just really out and that's just what they're doing.
Yeah.
So there was a lot in the early boroughs, there was a lot. And I found that quite off-putting. But
it was honking.
It was really honky. But then I do remember, like, as I said, like in London Marathon, I remember that wasn't a weed smell. That was just normal fags. And
I would rather smell weed than I would ciggies.
Yeah, because the weed, you're not getting a puff of smoke, which you're just thinking, please don't smoke there. It's so unfair. It's all going into my lungs and stuff.
Yeah.
And I could never actually see any smoke or anyone actually smoking. It was just an oak. Yeah. It was like a room fragrance.
Yes, yes. Tobacco, I always think, lingers as well a lot worse. Like if someone's smoking a cigarette near you, then it's like going to stink of cigarette for ages.
Yeah.
Whereas if someone is smoking, well, I guess in this case, it's probably blunts, isn't it? Where it's not even got tobacco in it. It's just like straight up.
Blunts, look at you.
Look at my weed language.
Oh my God.
I'm just a New Yorker now. I don't know if that's what they call it in New York, actually. But I guess that is like... if that's got no tobacco in at all, then I do think that it hits you in the face, but then it's gone quite quickly.
Oh, maybe that's what it
maybe,
is.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm wrong, but.
Mm. Well, it was, it was a bit grim.
Mm. That's what it feels like walking around. It feels like you're like, oh my God, and then it's gone.
It does. It's so overwhelming.
Yeah.
There was lots of that. But there was lots of kind of film set moments, like running past, like, you know, lovely kind of clapperboard houses, running past those kind of brownstone. I mean, that's a bit further in. Kind of stuff.
With fire escapes going down the side.
Yeah,
oh
just
my
like
God,
Sex and City, Cosby Show. It was like, oh Friends. My God, Friends. Yep. Yeah, all of them. They're just amazing apartments. Mm-hmm. And some of the bridges were incredible. And actually the bridge that I went over before I saw you, I think that was my favourite one because
Queensborough Bridge.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think so, because it was very, very, all the bridges are nice and quiet, so you don't get the intensity of everyone shouting. And this one's closed at the top. I don't know if this is the right one.
Ooh.
But it's got kind of pillars along the side. And along the side, you could see the new, you know, the Manhattan skyline. You could see the financial district and stuff
Gorgeous.
Like that. And it just looked lovely. And it was a kind of, because that was at mile 16. And it was like, here's a little reminder of why you are currently in pain. And it was, do you know, it was weird to run. What felt different about it than London was the volume of the runners
mm-hmm.
did feel significantly more, but also the enthusiasm of the support, definitely more so than London. And I thought London was insane, but here was definitely more. But there was also a touch of the kind of, what race have we done where it's been badly kind of managed in terms of like the barriers and stuff, that I think that in some of the boroughs, people were so overexcited about the running.
Oh, I tell you, the one that I had the most of that recently was UTMB when...
Courtney.
It was at the Courtney Corner where she was literally like, I mean, she lived for it and so did everyone else that was going through, but you were having to like push people out the way because there was no space.
So going into the Bronx and going into Bronx and going into one of the others,
mm-hmm.
the as you go into that borough, the crowds were so crazy that they had gone, or so excited, they just moved closer and closer and closer. So the funnel through which we were trying to run had got much more squeezed. And I like in those early boroughs, I got really cross because mm-hmm. I was just like, can someone police this? Because it's slowing everyone down. We were all slowing our pace. You could see that everyone was getting a bit kind of naffed off.
Yeah.
Like enjoying it because, you know, it meant that there was lots more shouting and screaming and more music.
But you don't want it to be at the detriment of the runners, do you?
Yeah.
It felt, otherwise, then why are you there?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a lot, I did notice there were a lot of guided runners. There were huge amounts of guided runners. Mm-hmm. And so there are lots of people that needed support with them as well. So, and I think that kind of got impaired slightly when you're in a squished funnel and stuff like that. Fewer charity runners,
mm-hmm.
Than London or at least, in Fest Dress.
Yeah, I didn't see it apart from I saw some Marvel people.
I saw Marvel people.
Yeah, there were Marvel people. But yeah, agreed. And I was thinking about this.
Mm.
I don't know from the perspective of a US runner, but I mean, still, I suppose the entry fee is quite expensive.
It's very expensive.
But I was just thinking, if you were going to do New York Marathon, and absolutely no shade to anybody who has, I still think it's an incredible, incredible thing to do. But I guess if you're coming from the UK to do it, the cost of hotel, flights, all of that stuff, I mean, going to throw it out there again as a little bit of a cheers, guys, for hooking us up with this amazing thing that going with sports tours genuinely or doing going with an organizer is quite a good way of sort of covering all of that in one thing.
Yeah.
But it is... it's a holiday almost at that kind of cost. Like it's a real treat to yourself. I'm really cautious to say that because obviously you're putting yourself through an insane challenge too. But I suppose doing something like that, it must be a bit more difficult to raise money for charity for something like that when it's like, I've put a grand into doing this and like I could have given that to charity. You know what I mean? I think people who are here, I got the vibe. And there are definitely people raising money for charity and it's incredible.
Mm.
But I do think that the people who are here because of this. It's a destination marathon. Like, it's just incredible.
It struck me that the people that were raising money, there's a charity called, I think it was Kids Charity. I think that's what its name was.
Mm.
So I think there's official charity partners, which I know that the other big races have got, that like London Marathon always has a charity partner each year and chooses that one, but it felt very much as if people were running for those charities rather than, you know, like at London Marathon you get people that run for their own personal I mean, I know that it's usually within that there might, they, you know, there might be hundreds of runners that are running for like Mind or running for like,
yeah,
you know, sort of cancer research or something.
But you would pick your charity based on something that was important to you. You wouldn't necessarily look who's the charity partner for the event.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there were less of that, and there were definitely less people dressed up as fruit baskets and things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I didn't really see any of that apart from those Marvel people. Mm. I think those were the only ones that I saw. But what was your, I'm going to ask you, what was your highlight and what was your low light of the actual course now at this point? Because I asked you straight after the race and your low light was very much getting lost at the beginning and not knowing what was going on. But of the actual run, best bit, worst bit?
Oh God, that's quite hard. I think the worst, like, because I found it so painful, actually. And I'd say, I in a big sweeping thing, I'd say that the worst bit was probably the last 7 miles.
Yeah.
And that that wasn't to do with what I was seeing. It was just that everything was really, like, my left hamstring was really seizing up. My feet were beginning to really, really hurt. And my mind was playing silly buggers. Mm-hmm. And I just couldn't trust what I was telling myself. And I kept on, I was almost sort of in the moment thinking, what would Josie say? What would Josie do? You know, trying to remember the things that she would have said to me. And I knew it was a mind thing. I knew that, you know, although like physically my body was saying, you know, like your hamstring is going to break. And I knew that it wasn't going to do that. It was just going to be really painful. Mm-hmm. And it was just seizing up. And I was like, right, just do your things, have some water, have some, you know, some electrolytes, have, you know, and I tried my very best to carry on speaking, tried my best to sort of stay in my kind of race thing, but in my moment where I have, you know, every 3 miles I take a gel.
Yeah.
And it takes me a mile to have the gel. And where it began to fall apart was just after I saw you at mile 16.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the point at which my GPS and the mile markers that you see, that's when they really started to slide away from each other. Up until then, it had been within a couple of 100 meters. First mile was spot on, second mile just a bit further out, da, 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 you know, one of those.
Mm-hmm.
But just after then, it really began to be quite far, but like almost half a mile maybe. So that becomes quite depressing because, you know, Garmin says,
have your gel now. You've done 19 miles or whatever. But
and I'm like, I've got to wait another half a mile to get there. So it felt quite,
Is that just because of the sheer size of it, do you think?
No. The GPS is absolutely fine. It was great. It's because you're weaving in and out.
Yeah, sorry. That's what I meant, I suppose. But I didn't put that well at all. Sorry. But I suppose just because it's like there are so many people that you're going
to
be.
Yeah, it was much harder to stay near the blue line.
Oh, there was a blue line.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So in London, I remember in the first time I did London, that I veered off the blue line a lot. And I ended up doing 27 point something rather with that first one. Second one, I stayed really close to it. Mm-hmm. And so actually, in the end, my Garmin and that were quite spot on. And this, I really tried to and I couldn't.
Yeah.
So, I kept on being.
So just lots of wiggles.
Lots of wiggles. Yeah. So that, I guess that the worst bit was just how I felt. Because I found it physically really hard, definitely the hardest one I've done.
Yeah.
And I don't really know why that was particularly, because, you know, like I was saying on the way here, the thing that people will kind of warn you about before you do it is that it's kind of hilly, and it's not. I think it's only 800 feet of elevation, which isn't actually that much over the course of 26 miles. It's not much at all. Obviously, you do feel it when you've run quite a few miles and then you've got another bridge to go over. And the hills are all the bridges, apart from there's also, I think, when you get to sort of 5 miles before the end, and there's a bit when you're on Manhattan where there is just a relentless 2-mile slog uphill. And it's a gentle incline, but As we all know, gentle inclines when you're a mile. Oh my gosh.
I mean, it, running in general on a gentle incline is not my preference.
It was awful. But all the other ones, that was almost the worst one, I guess, because of where it was. But all the other ones were fine because you always went up and then came down. And I really like that because that was not like London. Yeah. Because London is so flat that you very rarely had that that lovely release and relief of when you, you know, go over the top. And then you've got a lovely kind of downhill to kind of, you know, treat your legs to kind of thing. So I quite like that. But by the time I saw you, the running downhill was actually more painful than the running uphill because that was what was kind of really affecting my hamstrings. Really, really super painful. But in terms of a good bit, there were loads of good bits. And I don't know. It's kind of like I loved the volunteers in their pink jackets. Mm. They were like to a person, so enthusiastic. Aww. And I like London Marathon, they're enthusiastic, but here it's just because they're just, it's different. It's bigger. It felt personal.
Yeah.
It felt like they really were invested in you as runners, really, which was lovely. And what you could see, and you know, that you just see the skyline as you're coming. And I did the really shaky cam and stuff like that. But seeing it was like, you know, when I did London, I loved doing Cutty Sark because that's my old stamping ground. And then I loved the last couple of miles because you then get like London's best bits.
Yeah.
It all crammed in and everything. But here, because you keep on seeing glimpses of that Manhattan skyline, you know, and it's so iconic, which I know we throw around quite a lot, but
we love to say iconic,
but it is iconic. Yeah. So that skyline is just incredible, and it sort of doesn't feel real, you know, when you first see it. It's like it feels
when
like
we
a
first
postcard.
Saw it when we flew in.
Yeah,
I was like, what the hell?
I know.
It does feel very like it's bizarre because it's like it's so iconic. It's so recognizable.
Yeah.
But it's also nowhere I've ever been anywhere near.
Yeah.
And so it is bonkers.
It's completely bonkers. There's so much here that feels completely unreal, doesn't it? And that felt like, it just felt like you were running closer and closer to a painting. And then every time you remembered and told yourself, actually, no, this is real. You are running towards it. It's not a film set. It is actually real. That was a kind of a breathtaking moment when every time I saw it. And I took pictures of like loads and loads of like ridiculously tall skyscrapers and stuff, but I have no idea what they are or, you know, where they were even, but it was just like bloody hell. Cause you know, you turn around a corner and suddenly whoosh, you know, huge.
I keep doing that. I've got loads of weird, but I mean, my picture of my chins underneath the Trump Tower earlier. Because I was walking to spectate you.
Yeah.
And then I was suddenly, when I just showed a picture of us in a tower yesterday and I texted Doug and I made him guess we were. And we were in the Empire State Building, but he was like, oh, Trump Tower. And so I thought, oh my God, I'm actually at Trump Tower. So I was like, I had to take a quick picture. But yeah, I keep doing that, just sort of stumbling upon things and being like, and just doing a quick little, And I do feel, and I shouldn't, because I think we should never let fear of not being cool.
Yeah.
Like, just fucking go for it. But I guess because we live in a big tourist city.
Yeah.
I think probably other than London, like Bath is definitely up there. Yeah. I guess Edinburgh, maybe there are other places in the UK, but Bath is definitely probably in the top sort of five, maybe tourist cities. And we also do quite a bit of work in London and seeing family in London as we grew up in London. So seeing, going to those two places, often I'm like, fuck off, because people are, I don't know, standing in the way while you're just trying to walk to a train or something. But I'm never going to do that again because I love being here and just being really silly and not ever for a second thinking that it's not cool to be enthusiastic and excited about something.
Exactly. And when we've done
that, walk past the Empire State Building and be like, ugh, oh, don't look at it.
Whatever. Yeah. And isn't it lovely that there is a sense of pride among the people that live here. But it's an inclusive pride. It's not like it's us, it's our thing, like you might get in Paris. It's not like that. It's
sorry to the Parisians.
Sorry, but it's definitely a sort of, yeah, of course it's amazing. And can I help you? Do you want me to take a photograph of you?
Yeah.
Can I do, you know,
I mean, even to the Londinians, you know, I think that often in London, things can feel a little bit less friendly to tourists, maybe.
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah. Whereas, yeah, genuinely, there are a couple of moments where I felt a bit like, oh, I'm in someone's way and they're cross with me or whatever. But on the whole, yeah, everybody just wants to take a picture of you, bring you more coffee, give you a hug. It's so great.
It's so great.
I've got a thing I want us to do on the podcast now.
What's that?
So this is going to come in to your last bit.
Okay.
I'm steering it. You can also, we don't have to.
Do steer. I have no thoughts.
We're going to do a taste test.
Oh, yeah.
Because, this one's yours.
Oh, my God.
So something that we did, and I'm sorry if this is not ASMR.
It's weighty.
I was following Esther on the app, which was actually review of the app. Really good.
Brilliant.
I was standing next to a bloke called Clive when I was watching you, and he was struggling to get on his.
Oh.
But I had no problems with the app at all. It was great. It was really, really easy to follow you. And I know from things popping off on the Discord and stuff that all the pod squad were following you as well and could see where you were. And it was really accurate.
That's nice.
That was really cool. So yeah. I got to watch you because that we'll go into this next week, but I suppose my one thing slightly as a spectator, sports tours were great and we had a little cheer zone and that was really good. But that was once you'd run past that, it was a bit like, I can't, it was so busy and it was so difficult to find other places to be. So it was really good that the app was good so that I could actually see you going around and work out where to meet you. Meeting you at the end was so smooth. It was, that is shout out to, was it Joanna?
I think it was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was. And apologies if I've pronounced that wrong. Because my mother-in-law is a Joanna. And when people Joanne her, she gets very cross. So,
I think she is a Joanne.
She might be a Joanne. I never know whether you pronounce the...
I think it's Joanne.
It's Joanne.
Yeah.
Well, shout out because she was invaluable before we left. She dropped us a line and was like, this is where you need to meet. I mean, all of your New York recommendations have been incredible. Yeah. But Joanne dropped us a line and was like, this is where you should meet afterwards because you won't be able to contact each other. It will be like that manic thing when you're in a concert or something.
Yeah.
And it's like, you can't find each other
because
there's too many of you. And we met in this little playground where I did feel like a bit of a creep because I didn't realize it was going to be like
loads of kids there.
Yeah. In parks in the UK, like, I guess people hang out. You get teenagers drinking cider, you'll get someone pushing a 2-year-old on a swing, you'll get an old man bird watching or something. This was like just a play park for children.
Yeah.
And I did sit there for quite a long time, probably looking quite suspicious. No, don't worry. But it was really easy to find you then. And then we went just round the corner. The best part about that was it was next to Shake Shack, which we can talk about as well next time. But it was also right next to Levain,
which was recommended by Kate.
Yeah.
Friend of the pod.
Our Kate.
She said, go there, get a cookie. So there, we went straight there and we were just looking at things. It was very busy. And
it was okay to get out of Central Park, right? I mean, it was busy, but...
That's fine. We're all traveling the same direction, so it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
We walked into this bakery, this kind of legendary bakery, and there was a woman working there who spied my, because I was wearing a ridiculous orange poncho. You're given this
orange condom.
Yeah, dreadful orange poncho, which I will keep forevermore because it's amazing. I had that. I was wearing that. And she said, oh, come over here, choose your cookie. You're going to get one free.
She was so lovely. So kind to the marathon runners. In fact, everyone in New York was like, you guys are legends the whole way.
All the way.
It was great. So we went and got these free cookies.
Yes.
I did realise while we chomp, I didn't really ask you about the atmosphere in Central Park. I kind of skipped over that. Like, what were the crowds like in Central Park?
Oh, lovely. That was really nice because it was so nice to come out of, like, when, once you've done those last 2 miles going upwards, which are, well, it's not last 2 miles. I think it's about 21, mile 21, 22. Mm. You've got a couple of miles that are going upwards through Manhattan. Not nice.
No.
But then you get into that lovely, the lovely area that we were in yesterday, where it's the museum kind of row.
Where Michael told us is not the real New York.
Oh, really?
Where he was like, you need to go to Coney Island. This isn't
New York. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. He did. We loved it.
We did.
So it was kind of running along there. Then you go into Central Park and it's a relief. It's so nice to be out of buildings and into park. And then it's the final stretch as well, although it's much longer than I gave it credit for, because I'm sitting there just going, oh.
This is the final stretch.
Here we are.
Final stretches in New York.
Fucking 2.5 miles
Fucking long.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Right, cheers.
What one did you get?
I got classic chocolate chip.
Ooh, and I got oatmeal, which is a very Newman thing to do.
Oatmeal raisin. Cheers.
Cheers. I'm going to just take a little bit here.
You.
Okay. How big are they? Okay. Thoughts?
Thoughts crumbly. All over the hotel floor.
Oh, that's good. Never going to be able to finish it. No. Certainly can't eat it now.
Oh, it's really good. The chocolate is actually, you would like this chocolate.
That's a very dark chocolate.
This is dark chocolate. Mm. This is not like sort of Hershey's chocolate.
Yeah. Oh, no, this is lovely.
I have eaten some fluff with it. There
you go. After being enough.
This is called, I believe, when people do ASMR eating, it's called mukbang. I think it's a Korean term, I believe. I might have got that wrong.
Mukbang.
I think that's what it's called. I'm going to double check. But I think that that is...
I'm worried about what you're searching for here.
Mukbang. It's Korean. Oh. Oh God, what am I doing?
You don't even
I'm scared. I'm honestly terrified about clicking the wrong things here, that I'm going to get something really weird. Oh, it's also a song, see, which is why it's confusing.
Okay.
It combines eating and broadcast.
Oh, Christ.
So that's exactly what we're doing right now. Mukbang. Eating and broadcasting at the same time. I'm going to have one more bite of this, and then you're 100% right. It's going away until later, because we're supposed to go for a lovely... We're going to a party now, which I'm sure we can talk about next week.
Yeah, we are. We will talk about it next week. So part of the sports tours thing is that they arrange for everyone that's run to go along to the Hard Rock Cafe, which they hire out for drink and food. It's going to be very, very cool. I've not been to a Hard Rock Cafe since I was about 15.
I've never been to one because my mum was always like, that's really expensive.
Yeah, oh God, it's going to be, well, hopefully it's going to be amazing, but we will report back.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure we've got loads more to talk about, but again, we're going to do another pod. We've got so much to talk about, like what we did yesterday. We're here until tomorrow as well. So.
I know. If we were recording live this whole time, the amount of mukbang that would have been going on, because we've eaten our way
so
through
so much.
Mm-hmm.
She's chef kissing.
I'm chef kissing. Sorry. But I'm so proud of you. It's the only thing that I wanted to say before, because I know we're gagging to go. I'm gagging for a glass of Prosecco. I can't imagine how much you must be.
Oh my God. I actually really need a beer. You had a beer last night.
I had a Budweiser. Delish.
Yes.
Did taste slightly sweeter, less malty than I think it does in the UK, but it's meant to be, it's an American beer, isn't it? So I must have got that wrong.
No idea. But yeah, thank you. And thank you for being here, because...
I mean, I've loved every second of it, but I feel a sense of elation and joy that you've done what we really came here to do, and you did it so well, and it was amazing.
I'm just really fucking pleased it's over.
Yeah, I would feel the same if I were you, to be fair.
I am very, very, very tired. I have very poorly legs, but it's been, I'm so pleased you're here, because it's very deflating to run these things on your own. And I think... You know, we've said it before, it's so lovely to have the pod squad, it's so lovely to have this community, because I feel like I'm supported, selfishly supported through that, which is wonderful. But to actually have you here in person has been very, very lovely.
It's been great. I'm going to give you a cuddle live on the pod.
We never get to cuddle on the pod.
Hold up.
Thank you for listening. Come and join us on Patreon. You can get a ton of extra Pod Squad benefits from just £2 a month, including newsletters, live chats, and you can join our exclusive Discord community for friendly chat and support with like-minded women runners. Go to patreon.com/womensrunning to find out more. This podcast was recorded over Zencastr. The producer and composer was David Newman. Please hit like and subscribe. That way you won't miss the next episode. Do please email us at wrpodcast@anthem.co.uk with any questions or running stories, as we would love to include them in a future podcast. Happy running.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you. A lot can happen in the next 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.